Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show. Hi everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody!
So, what do we have down now? Like 15 weeks ago,
something 14 like
weeks?
That.
I don't know.
It's very close.
Yes,
it's getting closer and closer. We're getting closer to the last day.
Uh huh.
That's the big one. You said last week there's more, we have less days now than days, yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
It's all looking so good.
Finish line is in sight.
Man. Yes, yes.
The finish line is in sight.
Just get me to the end of May.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we are here to talk about the next episode of the Simpsons saga.
Banger episode.
Yes,
too.
It is. This is titled The Old Man and the Lisa.
Which is, of course, a play on The Old Man and the Sea.
Yes.
Right? Which, if you have never read before, shame on you, kind of, right? When you think about that? Yep. Yeah,
this
shame
is
on
Hemingway.
You. Yeah.
Yep. This is the 21st episode in the 8th season and originally aired April 20th of 1997.
Yep.
And we're going to start with the traditional chalkboard and couch gags, but again, there's no chalkboard gags.
Yes, so we had one last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first one we had in a while.
Yes.
But alas, nothing lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have a couch gag. And we do have a recycled couch gag on this one. We've seen it a few times up to this point.
Yeah.
I want to say this is what? The third or the
third
fourth?
Third or fourth time, yeah.
Something like that. It is a family going to the living room, but the whole couch looks like a giant whack-a-mole game. And all their heads are popping out of the couch and the floor and everything. And of course, they're missing everybody except Homer at the end, which gets a good dope when he gets hit in the head, right? So
yep. We've
seen it before. It's still a good one, but there you go.
All right. We're going to open up this particular episode in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Marge is waking up, and she's got like half her head hair is like caved in.
Yeah. She's got that bed head.
Yeah. So she's got to re-volumize it a little bit, I guess, with her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it pops back into place. And she can hear muffled noises, right?
Yeah, bottles, right? Yes. You hear clank, 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 right?
Uh-huh.
And it wakes up Homer and Bart, who are both asleep in their clothes on the couch with the TV still on. So I'm guessing Homer and Bart were up late watching something.
Watching TV and they fell asleep on the couch.
Yep. And you hear the TV say, and now the thrilling conclusion of Colonel Dracula joins the Navy. Which, you know what, in the 90s, yes, you got all those weird B-movies.
Did you ever stay up to watch any of those things?
Every once in a while, yeah. They would always show the Ernest movies, really.
Yeah.
Right? I did, however, I did see a couple of things animation-wise in those late nights. Yeah, that's how I saw that Akira for the first time,
mm-hmm.
which, like, blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a cartoon, an anime called Vampire Hunter D at one point.
Oh, okay.
And it was pretty badass. But yeah, it was all those weird movies, like I remember specifically like the ones with the big rabbits.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, in the city. And then there was one called like Empire of the Ants or something like that.
You know, the only time I would bother to stay up is like, if I knew that movie had a hot chick in it.
Ah.
It was a B movie and it didn't have any hot chicks, I'm out.
You know, underrated B movie starring Ringo Starr,
mm-hmm.
Caveman.
Any hot chicks in that?
Caveman?
No.
Well, it's prime Shelley Long.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
I suggest you watch that one. It's classic.
I will consider that.
So anyway, right? So the family finds out what all the ruckus is. It's apparently Lisa in the kitchen rummaging through the garbage.
And Marge's like, Lisa, what in the heck are you doing?
And unfazed, she says that it's for her junior achievers club, that they're trying to earn money by recycling.
And Bart steps in and is like, oh, recycling is useless, Lise. Once the sun burns out, this planet is doomed. You're just making sure we spend the last of our days using inferior products. Hear, hear, Bart.
You know what? I mean, Bart is a man after my own heart on that scene, man. Which, nobody likes hearing that.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, Bart has a very good point. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all just kind of, what's the phrase? We're all just polishing the brass on the Titanic. It's all going down, man.
Yep. And we may not even have to wait for that. Because we're in the middle of the warm period of an ice age right now.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
And contrary to popular belief, guys, yes, there are dangers with global warming, but we can be okay with that. It's global cooling that you have to be afraid of.
Yeah. Remember that week?
Because nothing.
2 years ago?
Yeah, because you can still grow food during global warming. Uh-huh. You cannot grow food during global cooling.
Yep, yep.
So, whew. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. No. All right, so. Marge likes the idea, right? And she's going to help Lisa. So she tries to throw the plastic ring for the six packs, mm-hmm. right, into the wastebasket. And Lisa is upset, right? She's like, Mom, you're mixing polypollen and polyurethane.
And Homer's like, Marge! He's really, really offended by this.
Yeah. He doesn't know what's going on. Uh-uh. And Marge's like, well, I'm sorry, right?
And Lisa says, and you have to cut these up first. Otherwise, animals get caught in them.
And Bart chimes in. Only the stupid ones. That's a good point, too.
Yeah.
So Lisa says that she still needs paper, right? And Homer thinks that he has a source. So he runs out of the kitchen. He returns with an armful of books. And he throws all of us. He throws all of it into the wastebasket.
Well, he's doing it one by one.
Yeah.
And every time he drops one in, he's laughing. Mm-hmm. He's having a really good time. And Lisa says, Dad, you're not supposed to have fun recycling. This is serious. And of course, he says, oh. And he keeps dropping the paper, but this time he laughs a little bit quieter.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Lisa has to suck the fun out of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to the HQ of the Junior Achievers Club at Springfield Elementary. And, of course, Principal Skinner's running it, the square that he is.
Uh-huh.
And so Skinner said, okay, so the load of garbage they saved has given them more money towards their field trip to Albany. Yeah, for some reason they're going to Albany.
I know that's where I want to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Albany.
Mm-hmm. If you're in the state of New York, you really just want to go to Albany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really, folks. Not really.
And so... they actually have like a little chart in the room, right, with a little goal of what they're trying to get to financially. So the children are happy, and Skinner introduces their guest speaker to teach them about business, Mr. Burns.
And only Skinner and another kid are clapping for him.
Yep.
All right, so Burns comes in and says, I'll keep it short and sweet. Family, religion, friendship. These are the three demons you must slay. If you wish to succeed in business, when opportunity knocks, you don't want to be driving to a maternity hospital or sitting in some phony baloney church or synagogue.
Man, I love Monty Burns.
Yes, he is evil to the core.
Yep. And so they have a little Q&A, right? He's like, so questions? And there's a long pause, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Skinner raises his hand. He's like, well, I might take advantage of this rare opportunity even if you children aren't interested. Which do you think is more important, hard work or stick-to-itiveness?
And Burns turns around. Are there any real questions?
Just shuts him down. Uh-huh. And so Lisa asks Mr. Burns if his plant has a recycling center.
And Burns kind of like just freezes up because he's like, recycling? And we can see it. We pan into his brain, mm-hmm. and in his brain he's got a dictionary. The dictionary opens up to the R's, and we begin with Ragamuffin, and he strolls all the way down all of the like menacing sounding R yes. words, and he doesn't find recycling on there, right? So he tells Lisa he doesn't know what the word means, and he calls her a ragamuffin.
And so Lisa proceeds to explain that. Recycling helps Mother Nature, and Burns is not having that at all, right? Because he doesn't like Mother Nature for the disaster she's given man.
Yes.
right?
He's like, now that we're kicking Mother Nature's ass, now she wants us to take it easy on her?
Mm-hmm. And he says, surely you can agree. You can agree. We can do without her. To which Lisa disagrees.
Uh-huh. And Burns is shocked because no one ever disagrees with him. Ever. Mm-hmm.
And so he calls out for Smithers, right? And tells Lisa to shut up. Because if you listen to people like her, he wouldn't be worth $200 million today.
And then Lisa says, well, I read your recent biography, and it says that you're only worth $100 million.
And Mr. Burns kind of looks at Smithers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Smithers says, actually, sir, it's considerably less than that.
Yes. And this, you know, Burns gets all, I don't know.
He kind of freezes up, but then he just says, like, I have to go. And he, like, takes off.
Uh-huh. Right? And then Skinner goes, Money Burns, everybody.
Yep. And, of course, no one else claps.
Nope.
And then we cut to Burns' office, and he is in there with all of his financial advisors and lawyers, right? With, like, the blue-haired guy and everybody's in there. Okay. And he says, I've called you all here because I need some honest answers. What is my current financial situation?
And then the first yes man, great.
The lawyer says, great.
And then Smithers is like, I hear great.
And so Mr. Burns says, all right, give me my stock portfolio. And they give him an old portfolio. And I love this. It's so funny. So he starts going through his stock holdings. And he's like, Confederate slavery holdings. How's that going? I think the guy says, like, it's steady.
Yeah, it's steady. All right. And what is it? Something about an opera hat company.
Yes, an opera hat. Yeah, there's some weird stocks in there, right? Uh-huh. And so Smithers says that, you know, he's secure because, you know, you picked the stock, so it must be good, right? It's doing well.
And then he goes to his stock ticker. And apparently he stopped looking at this right before the Great Depression.
So September of 1929, the last time he checked it.
Because as soon as he gets, he's like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
And he says, Smithers, why didn't you tell me about this market crash?
And Smithers is like, well, sir, it happened 25 years before I was born.
He says, oh, that's your excuse for everything. Wow, money. He must have had a lot of money if he didn't even notice that the stock market crashed.
Yep. Filthy rich man.
Yep.
So then Burns is trying to declare for bankruptcy so he can save some of his money. Mm-hmm. And he asks Smithers to sink 50% of his, this is where he says, right, sink 50% of the money left into Baltimore Opera Hat Company, right? And I forget the other one, right?
But he just says the blue chips, right?
The blue chips, blue chip stocks, yeah, like the Baltimore Opera Hat Company.
Yeah, and he says, that's just set things right again, hey, boys?
And all of them were like, yes, yes, sir, yes, sir.
And as soon as he's gone, everybody just looks at each other like, oh, man, who's going to tell him? Uh-huh. Nobody, apparently. Nope. Right?
And next thing we know, we're back with Skinner and the Junior Achievers, and they just got to Uriah's Heap Recycling Center. And Skinner drops all the newspapers they've collected. He says a half ton of newspapers, right, because They get him weighed, and then they pay him out, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, a half ton of newspapers, and all we get is 75 cents? That won't even cover the gas I used to go to the store to buy the twine to tie up the bundles.
And the hippie dude that works at the recycling center is like, it sounds like you're working for your car. Simplify, man.
How else are you going to carry half a ton of newspapers?
I don't know, dude. And Skinner's not hearing this because he didn't say it. But you know that his Vietnam veteran was saying, damn hippie, at that point. You know he was. Because mm-hmm. he kind of like, you see him like grind his teeth and like mutter something under his breath, right? Mm-hmm.
So Skinner loads all of the kids into his car and tells them there's not going to be a trip to Albany because there's no money. And there will be no more recycling because it's not worth it.
And he says, but we did save enough paper to save one whole tree.
And just then Skinner backs up and he backs up into a tree and that tree
breaks in half. Yeah.
Yeah. separated from the rest of its body, let's say.
And he drives away, which is, I think, one of the coolest hardcore Skinner moments in the entire lore, man.
And is it just me or did it sound like Ralph started to cry?
Yes, Ralph did start to cry. He calls for his mommy, actually. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we cut back to Mr. Burns' office, and we're looking at his stocks, and apparently he is ruined. Right? And he's asking all of his yes men, like, but I made all the right moves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You did.
And then he finally clicks on him, where he's like, oh, I see it all now. You're just a bunch of yes men. I was making the wrong moves, and you were too gutless to tell me. Isn't that right?
Oh, yes. Sure.
And Smith's right answer. The worst yes men of them all.
Uh-huh. So Burns then asks Smithers to take out another mortgage on the plant. Mm-hmm. But the bank has already foreclosed on the plant.
Yep.
And Mr. Burns' house, too.
Yeah.
So Smithers offers to help Mr. Burns pack up and move out of the bank's house and into his house.
Yep. And so they're walking out of his, you know, office and everything. He's walking him down the hallway of his mansion downstairs. And you can tell Burns is very upset. He's just kind of like, oh, he's acting very old man at this point.
Yep.
And we see a buyer already for the house with the real estate agent downstairs. Yep.
Right? And I remember when this episode was going to air, they made a big deal out of this.
Yes, I do remember that.
Because Brett, the Hitman Hart,
was at the height of his powers.
Yeah, one half of the Hart Foundation. The greatest there ever is, was, or ever will be. Is that what he called, said about himself?
The best there ever is, the best there ever was, and the best there ever will be.
Uh-huh. Brett the Hitman Hart is there, and he's thinking about buying Burns' house.
Yep. And the real estate agent says, and I'm sure a pro wrestler such as yourself will appreciate all the closet space, Mr. Hitman.
And we see the Hitman sniffing around. He's like, ew, this place got old man stink.
And Burns is still upset. Oh, he feels bad, right?
Uh-huh. And Smithers says, don't listen to him, sir. You've got an enchanting musk.
That's gross. That's so gross. Yeah, no. And so the agent then tells the Hitman, right, that he won't be the only wrestler in the neighborhood. The Shrieking Sheik lived just 3 doors away. And you hear the, right?
Uh-huh.
I guess they couldn't do the Iron Sheik. Or
yeah, they couldn't. And that wins the Hitman over, and he decides to buy the house.
And before he leaves, Mr. Burns takes down his self-portrait, and he goes up to Bret Hart, and he says, would it be all right if I kept this portrait to remind me of better times? He's very defeated at this
point. And the Hitman's like, why would I want a picture of a pitiful pencil-neck geek?
And Burns is like, yeah, why indeed? And he actually leaves the portrait behind, and he leaves with Smithers.
Mm-hmm.
And Smithers says, I'll make sure he forwards your social security check, sir.
Hmm. Excellent.
Yeah. So, yes, this is one of the rare times where we see Mr. Burns so defeated, right?
Mm-hmm. And next thing we know, we're back at the Simpsons house during breakfast time, and Marge is reading the paper. And she's like, Homer, you didn't tell me Mr. Burns went broke and lost a nuclear power plant?
Now, I can't remember every little thing that happens in my day.
That's not a little thing, though.
No.
That's his employer.
Yep, and to make it worse, right?
Uh-huh.
Marge says, you told me about that candy bar you found 3 times.
And Bart's like, you found a candy bar?
He's like, oh, yes. Gather around, my son, and I shall tell you a tale. Oh, my God.
And then this is when Lisa comes in. He's like, I normally don't laugh at other people's misfortunes, but on behalf of the recycling community, it could have happened to anyone more deserving.
Right. And so Marge is worried that, you know, the Springfield power plant is going to close, right? But it's not. Homer says that they put Lenny in charge. And we cut to the power plant and we see Lenny sitting in Mr. Burns' office, right? And through the intercom, he says, attention, everybody, work harder. Bye. Oh, goodness.
And then he relaxes, feeling like he's accomplished something, right?
He just put in a hard day's work.
Uh-huh. So Mr. Burns is now living with Smithers. And, of course, we know that Smithers loves this, right?
Yep.
And Smithers is like, well, sir, I have to get to work. Lenny's a real bear on tardiness.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Burns is like, well, let me help out. And he drops a cup and a saucer. right? And Smithers just like stops him, right? Yeah. Tells him to stay put, you know, maintain your dignity.
Mm-hmm. So Smithers leaves and we see Burns just sitting at the breakfast table and he's staring. And the only noise is the dripping from a faucet. Mm-hmm. But then he sees there's a grocery list and he decides to go shopping for Smithers, right? He wants to make himself useful.
Yep.
So he catches the bus.
And so, yes, yeah, he catches the bus, right? And he says, Barney's there, right? And he tells Barney, I'm riding on the bus.
And Barney's like, hey, aren't you the guy that everybody hates?
He goes, oh, my, no, I'm Monty Burns.
The guy that everybody hates, yeah. So next thing we know, we're at the grocery store, and he's pushing a cart, and he sees a woman there, and he goes, I'm shopping.
Very proud of himself. Right? Uh-huh. And then he sees that cereal is on the list, right? And he gets to the cereal aisle. And we see Krusty there buying his own Krusty-O's cereals, right? And so he goes up to him and he says, excuse me, could you tell me where I might find the Burns-O's?
And Krusty's like, sorry, Pops. They don't put nobodies on cereal boxes.
Okay, I think it's funny that Krusty has to do his own shopping.
Uh-huh.
Two, he has to buy his own cereal at the supermarket.
Don't you think they would send him
boxes? Well, don't you think he'd have like a stockpile at his own house or something like that?
I would think they would send him boxes to his house.
Oh, my God.
And then we see Burns, and he sees a box of Count Chocula. And he says, I suppose this one looks a bit like me. And
it's pretty funny.
Yeah. He thinks he's a vampire.
Yeah. By the way, I love Count Chocula.
You can't go wrong.
No, you cannot.
Yeah. Frankenberry's pretty solid,
Frankenberry's awesome, too.
I don't know about how I feel about Blueberry, though.
Blueberry's okay. It's not that bad. Frankenberry is superior, but I think Count Chocula out of that's the best. It's so good.
Yes, yes.
And so we see a grocer walking down the aisle, the dairy aisle, right? And he actually walks by Mr. Burns, who managed to trap himself inside of the milk compartment, right? The big old fridge, right? And he's already blue. And he's tapping on the door. They open the door, right? And he's like, oh, thank you, Shoppy. I ventured in to search for milk when the door snapped shut behind me.
And the guy's like, yeah, those dairy cases are real death traps.
And so we cut to another aisle, and then we see a dilemma. Mr. Burns is having one here. In one hand, he's got a bottle of ketchup, and in the other hand, he has a bottle of catsup.
So, do you know the difference?
No, I don't.
So, it depends, right? If you Google it, some people will tell you there is no difference. But other people will tell you that ketchup is sweeter. It's thicker because sometimes they put like mushrooms in there to thicken it up. The catsup, not so much sugar in there, and it's going to be thinner.
Interesting. Okay.
So, I don't know. I've never cared enough to buy both. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever tried catsup, to be honest with you.
Because I think we always get ketchup.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But one of these days, I might try catsup.
We're going to have to do an experiment with that.
By the way, you know they have Tapatio ketchup now?
I saw that.
It's good. Mm-hmm. I used it last time I made my meatloaf.
Nice. I buy the Whataburger spicy ketchup in the bottle.
Yeah.
And Tabasco makes sriracha sauce now.
I don't know
if you saw that.
No, I have not seen that.
Awesome. I made some stir fry the other day.
Tabasco's making sriracha now?
Yeah, and it's pretty damn good, I gotta say.
Man, I'm going to have to go look for that.
You know what? And I think they cornered the market on that kind of because I can't find regular sriracha anywhere right now.
And you can find it now. You can find it now. Okay. They were having a shortage for some reason.
I've been to the grocery store twice and I still can't find it.
Well, I see it down at my ghetto B.
Okay.
The HOB. The HEB on South Mountain, if they have it.
Yeah.
I figured everybody has to have it.
Okay. I'll look again. But yeah, Tabasco has sriracha now.
Okay. I'll look for that. Okay. Let's go.
Stop promoting. Yeah, I know. We're talking about food. Don't let us start talking about food.
Yes.
And so Burns is looking at both bottles and he just tells himself, I'm in way over my head.
And the grocer's like, he's talking to the ketchup now. And then Burns sure is acting nutty.
And the supervisor's there and he says, maybe going broke and losing his plant destroyed his brain. And so they go up to Mr. Burns, right? And Mr. Burns is there shaking, looking at, you know, the bottles. And like, could you come along with us, sir?
And Burns is like, are you here to solve my ketchup problem?
And the girl says, yes, that's right. And they don't do this anymore. Uh-uh. Right? But what they used to do this is if you were causing a scene like that, or a worse scene in the streets back in the day.
And you were older.
Yeah, the guys in the white
white coats would come out and pick you up.
Yeah, they'd either take you to the old folks' home or the asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they take him, of course, to the Springfield Retirement Castle, right? And Wiggum takes him there.
Yeah. And Burns is like, but where are you taking me? What's happening?
And Wiggum says, relax. You've gone off your nut, so we're stuffing you into an old folks' home. Those store guys signed the commitment papers.
And Burns is like, but I'm shopping.
Yeah, he's very confused. Mm-hmm. And so we cut back to Homer, and I love this scene because, one, it shows you what a degenerate Homer is, but at the same time, he's trying to be a good father
he's
by
trying
being
to be a good dad.
Degenerate. Mm-hmm. And he's very wily. His eyes are all bloodshot red. Mm-hmm. He's got like a different color to him and everything, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, here you go, honey. And he drops a can, an empty can of Duff into the bag. He's like, that's about all the recycling I can handle today.
And he's just like, Dad, if you drink one more, I'll have a full bag.
Oh, but Daddy doesn't feel so good. He's drunk off his ass. It's super hilarious.
And he says, like, there's got to be more trash around here somewhere.
In the moment of drunken brilliance, he says, hey, why don't you try the old folks' home? They practically live in their own filth.
And he's like, thanks, Dad.
He's like, you're welcome, honey. And he, boom, passes out.
All you hear is,
yep. Trying to be a good dad, but at the same time, oh, man.
So now we're at the Springfield Retirement Castle, and we see Burns having dinner with Grandpa Simpson.
Yep.
Abe's like, that's the activity room. We're not allowed in there. That's the library. We're not allowed in there either. And don't even think about going into the game room.
And Burns is like, ee, God, man, how are we supposed to pass the time?
And Abe's like, best bet is to stake yourself out a good spot at the staring window.
And we see three people sitting at the staring window, right? It's one tree with, it's like there's not even a background to this. And it's got one little leaf on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just on some grass. And Burns is just like, ugh.
Yeah, it's depressing. Mm-hmm. So all of these decrepit old people are kind of like dancing,
if you want to call it that.
Yeah, to Achy Breaky Heart. And some young guy is trying to orchestrate the party.
Mm-hmm.
And he invites Mr. Burns to join in. And Burns, of course, isn't having it the other way. He isn't having it, right?
Yeah.
He just stands there and looks at him. And the young guy goes, that's the spirit.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Mm-mm.
And Mr. Burns turns to the staring window, right? And he just starts talking about, like, you know, the saga of his life will end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I hadn't surrounded myself with those spineless yes men. But then he hears Lisa, right, pressing the front desk to get some recyclables. And he says, that voice, that shrill, disagreeable voice, it's her.
And then Abe goes, sorry, we're not allowed to read newspapers. They angry up to blood.
And so Mr. Burns runs in and she says, you, that troublemaking girl.
And Lisa goes, my name is Lisa, Mr. Burns. Lisa Simpson.
It doesn't matter what your name is, you idiot. What I want to know is, will you help me get my money back?
Ha! I would never help you. You're the worst man in the world.
He goes, yes! That's the kind of moxie I'm looking for. You're hired. And he grabs Lisa's arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she pulls away.
And she says, no! She does not want to work for him.
And at that moment, Smithers bursts into the room, right?
Yeah, he's like, sir, I'm so sorry my grocer committed you. We'll never go shopping there again.
He says, not now, Smithers. I got an empire to rebuild. And the person who's going to help me is that girl. And he points at Lisa, right?
And that's when they begin a little spoof of, what was it? Actually a TV show named That Girl.
Yeah, I never saw it. I know it existed.
And this is kind of like a spoof of the opening for that show. We see Lisa, that girl, flying a kite.
right? And Mr. Burns is like, please, right? Yeah, he pops out.
Well, he's trying to fly a kite too, but it's just all over the floor, right? Yeah. All over the ground. And then we see Lisa walking past these shop windows, and there's a mannequin display. And she turns and she looks and she sees one of those mannequins is actually Mr. Burns. And he winks at her.
Yeah, please. Right.
And he walks away. She walks away. She's right?
No.
And next thing we know, we see her on a carousel. We see her going up and down on the carousel. And then who do we see?
Mr. Burns. And he asks her again, right, to help.
Uh-huh.
He's begging at this point. And then we cut back to the Simpsons house, right? Mm-hmm. And so we hear the music, right? The Simpsons doorbell rings. Homer answers the door.
And then we see Mr. Burns. He's like, sir, we've never met before. And we know we have, right?
Several times.
But my name is Mr. Burns, and I want your daughter to help me make me rich again.
And Homer's like, you mean Maggie? And he like kind of motions over to her. And I love this because Maggie sees him, and then she kind of does like a little gun with her hand, like, how you doing?
And Burns like, ah, the baby who shot me. No, I was referring to your other daughter.
And so Homer calls for Lisa, right? And while he's waiting for her to come down, he kind of tries to make small talk. He's like, so, how's life in the gutter?
So by the time Lisa gets down, Mr. Burns is on his knees already. But and begging Lisa, right? But this, not to refuse him. And she considers it while she's walking down the stairs. And she says, if I did agree to help you, you could only earn money by doing good, socially responsible things. Nothing evil.
And Burns like, nothing evil. That's exactly the kind of radical thinking I need. So he agrees, and they shake hands, right?
And Homer's like, see that boy? Why aren't you making any business deals?
And Bart all whines, says, I'll do it this afternoon. He's just on auto response with that, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. So the next scene opens up, and we're at the beach. And we see Lisa teaching Burns to start to pick up recyclable garbage.
Yep. And Burns is shocked. He's like, you mean there are actually people who will pay good money for garbage?
And Lisa's like, not good money, really. Each can will get you a nickel.
He says, oh, don't poo-poo a nickel, Lisa. A nickel will buy you a steak and a kidney pie, a cup of coffee, a slice of cheesecake, and a newsreel. And Lisa's just staring at him. He's like, with enough change left over to ride the trolley from Battery Park to the Polo Grounds.
Of course, inflation has taken care of that problem a long time ago.
I was going to say, Burns is thinking in like, what, 18-something talk, maybe even before that.
And Lisa just says, there's a can over there.
And at this point, they keep on walking, and Lisa sees a fish stuck in the six-ring pack, right? And she tells Mr. Burns, like, you need to cut these up so fish don't get caught in them, right? So she frees the fish and dumps it in the water, and I have to say, I don't know why, but this is one of my favorite scenes of all time. Because they dump the fish in the water, and then we just see a shark come out and eat the fish.
And then we hear Nelson,
perfect timing.
Uh-huh.
He's got some perfect timed ha-has in this season. Yeah, yeah, the one last episode. Awesome.
So we see Burns skipping. He's still picking up cans and doing his recycling thing, right? And then he receives his first dollar after taking the cans in to Uriah's Heap Recycling Center.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, Lisa, as my advisor, you're entitled to 10%.
And he's like, oh, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm just happy knowing that future generations will enjoy unspoiled median strips and pristine highway embankments.
And this time Burns says, there's a can.
There you go, right?
Uh-huh.
And Burns like reinvests his money, right? I mean, say what you want about the guy being evil, but he uses his profits and he buys himself a stick, right? A stick
with puts a little nail in
it. Yeah, he twines up a nail to it so he can pick up trash faster. So, hey, man.
He got himself a bag, too, so he can drop the cans in that bag. Yep.
And then we cut to Kent Brockman, right? And so he's doing the news, and he says, and from our It's Funny When It Happens to Them file, Remember millionaire C. Montgomery Burns? The man who blocked out our son, ran over a local boy, and stole Christmas from 1981 to 1985?
Sounds
what?
Like the Grinch.
I know, right? Like, well, guess who's flat broke and picking up trash for a living?
And Homer's like, please be Flanders. Please be Flanders. Please be Flanders.
Oh, my God, Homer. He's thick, man.
Uh-huh.
Right? And, of course, it is. They show that it's Mr. Burns. Mm-hmm. And Kent Brockman walks up to him, and he's, you know, pretty dirty, digging through a garbage can, right? And he says, excuse me, Mr. Burns. Now that you're completely ruined, how do you feel?
And Burns says, excellent. I'm on my way back to the top. I've turned these cans into can-do's.
And Kent's like, well, you smell terrible. Good luck to you, sir. That's so funny.
So Marge goes, wow, he went from stinking rich to just plain stinking.
And Homer and Bart just start laughing, right? Bart's like, good one, Mom.
And Homer's like, oh, you're so bad, honey.
So Lisa says, you guys shouldn't laugh at him. Mr. Burns has changed. He's different now.
And Marge's like, yes, he's broke.
And everybody, start laughing again. Homer's like, two in a row. Lisa's actually pretty sad about
it. Yep. That's right. So next thing we know, we're back at the retirement castle. And we see Mr. Burns, and he's trying to supervise a team of elderly people to help him collect bags of cans and other recyclables, right?
And he's has them sorting it out, right? Like, oh my God. So Burns is running an old people's sweatshop at the moment. Of course he is, right?
So Lisa tells him that he shouldn't bully his workers if you want them to do a good job, or to do a good job, right? So Mr. Burns then discovers another thing that's rather strange to him.
Yeah, the radical thinking he needs, right? Uh-huh. So he says, people, if we meet this week's quota, I'll take you to the most duck-filled pond you ever sat by.
And Grandpa's like, oh, hot diggity. That's how they got me to vote for Lyndon LaRouche.
How old is that?
God, that's a dated reference right there.
I mean, dude, like, yeah. So,
isn't he a communist?
I think so. Yeah. I think so, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. That had to be, what, like the 50s?
Something like that.
And so we cut to a clip of the Springfield Shopper, right, the newspaper, and it shows that Mr. Burns is going to open a recycling plant.
And Lisa's like, wow, even I didn't know he was so committed to recycling. See? I told you Mr. Burns was changed. See?
And Marge is like, Lisa, nobody likes a gloater. Right, homie?
Uh-huh.
So Marge says, see? Of course, Lisa takes after Marge big time.
So now we have a crowd gathering to watch the opening of Mr. Burns' recycling plant. And he decides to give Lisa most of the thank for her impetuous moralizing, which helped produce the Little Lisa recycling plant.
So he unveils the plant, right? With the logo, and the logo is actually a smiling, cute picture of Lisa's face, right? Mm-hmm. And I love Mo in this, because he sees like, aw, ain't that cute? Makes little Demi look like a pile of puke.
So Burns invites Lisa in for a tour of the plant, right?
And she's all in at this point, right? She says, sure, partner, right? She's all enamored with this.
And Burns goes, the whole plant is environmentally sound. It's powered by old newspapers. Machinery is made entirely of used cans. And the windows are from old liquor bottles we collected. And then we see like a shadow on the other side of the window.
A very familiar shadow, right? It is, of course, Barney who's licking the windows, right? Mm. He's like, hey, I thought I told you to stop licking my windows.
Barney's like, I know you told me. But when I woke up this morning, I said, Barney, you're not going to lick that.
And Burns slams the window on him. And he's still talking, right? And they just continue on with the tour. Right? Mm-hmm.
So Lisa congratulates Burns on regaining his fortune without hurting the environment or without cozying up to the Aspen crowd.
Mm. The modern aristocrats.
Uh-huh. Burns hasn't shown her the big finale yet, though, right?
Yep. So he's going to have a demonstration. Mm-hmm. Right. And he tells Lisa that, you know, when you told me about that fish getting caught in the six-pack ring, you gave me an idea. Right. And he says, if one six-pack ring can catch one fish, right, then a million can catch a million fish.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa's like, what's going on? As we see this big, gigantic net being pulled up out of the water.
And it's made of all six-pack holders, right? Mm-hmm. Like all linked together.
Yep.
And he says, this, I call it the Burns Omni-Net. It sweeps the sea clean.
And Lisa is not happy at all.
I think she goes like, oh, dear God, right? Or something like that. And so we see them pulling in everything. There's fish, there's whales, there's all kinds of stuff. And we see all these fish and all everything just get processed into these big grinders. And this red mush just gets loaded into barrels, right?
And Lee and Mr. Burns is like, I call our product Little Lisa's patented animal slurry. It's a high protein feed for farm animals, insulation for low-income housing, a powerful explosive, and a top-notch engine coolant. By the way, fish as a
insulation?
Wouldn't that smell?
No, thanks,
man. Oh, my God.
He did say for low-income housing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He did say for low-income housing.
Those people don't deserve good smells, according to Mr. Burns.
That was harsh by Mr.
Yes,
Burns.
It was. Right there, oh, my God.
And he says, and best of all, it's made from 100% recycled animals.
And this is when Lisa literally becomes sick.
Yep. And he's like, oh, here, have some slurry. That'll cure your sickness.
That'll cure what ails you.
Yep.
Right? And Lisa realizes that he hasn't changed. He's still evil, even when he's trying to do good.
And he really doesn't understand what she's upset about, right? Nope.
So then Lisa sees her face all over the plant and she starts going crazy and she runs out going back home.
And she sees people in the streets recycling, right? Because the whole town's recycling now. Yeah. It's like, stop, don't recycle. It's murder. You're helping Mr. Burns.
And a woman, they're all robotic right now.
Yeah.
But you told us to recycle.
And then a man's like, you convinced us it was good. I wonder what they're trying to parry there.
Stepford Wives? I don't know.
I don't know, but maybe like They Live too, right?
Maybe.
One of those, you know, one of those weird movies where people get all crazy, like The Body Snatchers or something like that.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Classic.
So Lisa decides to dump all of the recyclables into the trash. But the rest of the town starts to shite her.
They're like, yeah, you can't miss, what is it, like glass and plastic or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so she breaks down, right? And she gets home and she's just trying to wipe her dress. She's like, I can't get the smell of slurry out of my clothes. I was a fool to help that horrible old man.
And Homer's like, I hope you learned your lesson, Lisa. Never help anyone.
There's the dad advice from Homer right there. Yep. One of the great Homer quotes.
Yep.
That's a great one, man.
So this is when Mr. Burns and Smithers pay them a visit.
Yeah, and Smithers walks in. He sees Homer's like, Simpson, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at work?
Homer's like, I made a bad mistake and let me send me home to think about what I did. I don't remember what it was, so I'm watching TV.
And so Smithers says, well, Lenny's reign of terror is over. Mr. Burns just... sold the recycling plant for $120 million.
And Lisa's like, congratulations.
And Mr. Burns says, and I also came to give you your 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about that. Burns is actually honoring his thing there.
10% of $120
million. Woo!
Woo! I think I'd retire on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Lisa.
He gives her the check.
Yes, and her jaw just drops.
So does the families, right? Uh-huh.
But he's like, oh, but I can't accept that knowing where it came from. Can I, Mom?
And Marsh says, you do whatever your conscience tells you to.
So Lisa takes a check and she tears it up. And Marge tells Lisa she did the right thing.
And right then and there, you just see Homer collapse. I mean, he folds over backwards. He doesn't even fall on his face.
He just got folded.
Yeah.
Next thing we know, we're at the hospital. And Dr. Hibbert says, well, that's the first case I've ever seen of a man suffering four simultaneous heart attacks.
And Lisa's like, I'm sorry, Dad.
And Homer's like, it's all right. I understand. but we really could have used that $12,000.
And she says, Dad, 10% of $120 million isn't $12,000. It's...
And now we're outside the room in the hospital hallway, right? And we hear, code blue, code blue.
Homer just dropped in again, man. He had another heart attack.
Yes, guys. If you're in the hospital, you hear code blue, that's a code for heart attack.
Yeah. Somebody's in some bad way right there.
Yes, and we end the episode in a legendary manner.
Yes, we do.
With Homer suffering his
fifth heart attack at that point. Unless he had four new ones again. Uh-huh. Who knows? I mean, he thought it was 12,000.
So where did Homer look the worst? Where he was drinking all that beer or...
He looked worse at the end. Yeah, he looked way worse at the end. Man.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 5 donuts, man, I have to ask?
Yes, even with a recycled couch gag, no chalkboard gag, I mean, this is a fiver all day. It's a banger of an episode. Oh, man, you got to love the dynamic of Lisa and Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Two complete opposite
people. Oh, my God. Even when he's trying to do good, he's evil.
Oh, man. I mean, personally, yeah, I loved it because, I mean, I love a Burns-centric episode. Mm-hmm. I really do. And it's just so good, man. There's so many good jokes in
it. By the way, did you like that picture I sent you of Burns and President Biden side by side?
Yes, that was funny. That was pretty funny.
They even walk alike there.
Yeah.
That was brilliant, brilliant right there.
Like that one I sent you of Mr. Burns after he listens to Tool?
Oh, yes.
That was a good one, too.
Yes, it was.
But, yeah, man. So, I'm guessing you're on board.
Yeah, I agree. This is a 5-donut episode. What's not to like? It is such a good premise. Burns going bankrupt and Lisa helping him rebuild his fortune. But, of course, Lisa's trying to do good and it just kind of like backfires on her.
But you got to give it to Mr. Burns, man. He was in the downs and he just, boom, made it all the way back up.
And he was honoring his agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And poor, poor Homer.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part there also when she gets the check, Bart like puts his hand on her shoulder and is like, have I told you lately how much I love you?
Yes. I don't know, man. As a dad, I'd be like, wait, no. Don't ask her. Ask me. Give me that.
Yeah.
Let me go cash it in for her.
I mean, at that point, you would kind of have to say, like, look, you could still do a lot of good with this money.
I'd be like, look, kid, you're, what, 8 years old?
Yeah.
Your frontal cortex isn't going to be fully developed until you're 25. You don't know what you're doing. That's why I'm dad. What I say goes.
Yep.
Every now and then, you'd have to say that.
Yeah, of course.
This would be one of the, I mean, generally speaking, I wouldn't want to associate with Burns. But if he's trying to give me a check for $12 million, yeah, I'm going to take that.
Yep.
That's just me, though.
No, I think that's most people. Mm. And again, I think that's, you know what, though? I'm glad that the writing and all that, that it does stay very true to what Lisa's character is, though.
Yeah.
You know, for better or worse, she's not persuaded by money when it comes to.
She's a square, not as big a square as Marge, but
yeah,
she does have her principles. Mm-hmm. She likes to stick to them.
Yeah, you got
to
respect her for that. Mm-hmm. You know, the character of Lisa Simpson.
Yeah. I mean, as long as none of the Coreys are involved, I guess she'll stick with it.
That's true.
If the Coreys are involved, all bets are off.
Yep. Or she gets another crush on Nelson or something.
Oh, yeah. Knows, yeah. Right?
Uh-huh. But yeah, man, I love this episode. It's... Man, it's such a great episode. This one, I know I've noticed that, yeah, so many of these were syndicated in this season a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's got, like, I guess maybe the whole season, man, because it's, you know, I remember seeing all these episodes a lot from this season.
Yeah, I'd come back to school. I mean, come back home from after school.
Mm-hmm.
You'd turn it to 23, and there
you go.
Fun
TV, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great.
Those of us didn't have cable. It was 23.
Mm-hmm. 23. Yeah. There's no channel 8. What are you talking about?
No. Nope.
8 was the cable one.
I was the Ocho. Yeah. I didn't have cable, so I didn't watch the Ocho.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off for the week?
No, just again, I love a Burn-centric episode. I really do. A lot of good quotes. I love the way he takes advantage of the old folks.
Yeah. This season is about to wind down. We got, what, 3 or 4 episodes left? Yeah. But they're all so good.
Oh, they're all so good. Man, I mean, there's one in particular, you know, we're looking forward to. But, man, I love next week's episode. I really do.
Yeah. This is a Marge episode, but, oh, my God, it is so good. Don't forget to follow us on our official show Instagram. That's official underscore Homers underscore Donuts without the apostrophes. Go ahead and give us a follow on there. If you can think of any way we can make the show better for you, you might want to send us a DM on there. Please don't forget to subscribe to our little podcast. Share it with your buddies. If you can, give us a nice little rating on there. It just helps people find our little podcast easier.
We're everywhere, guys. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes, right? So help us out.
Yes. We're not on YouTube. I don't think anybody wants to see my ugly ass face, but.
But who knows? If we get more people watching the or listening to the show, we might have to turn diversify. Into a video one. Yeah, we might have to do that. That'd be pretty cool.
And until next week, au revoir, suckers.